Good morning. Welcome to In Focus this morning here on News Radio KMAN. Troy Coverdale in for Brandon Peoples again this morning as we're joined on the line by Ascension Via Christi President Bob Koppel. And Bob, one item I noted in news through the course of this morning, the fact that some patient allowances are shifting now as we continue to see varying restrictions ease. Some still are in place, but the hospital continues to work to try and at least ease a little bit for those who are looking at inpatient treatments and are currently in the third floor unit.
Right. So for both our medical and surgical unit that's on the third floor of the hospital, basically this is kind of your basic inpatient units. We're making some changes again starting today with allowing additional latitude with visitation. And actually there's some other subsets of that with surgery patients, some of our outpatient areas, emergency room, et cetera. And I think it's very appropriate. It's a good time for us to be doing that, but also we're doing it with the same level of caution. People are still going to, this is a hospital, it's a healthcare facility, so people still have to wear masks. Even when visiting, we're actually asking family members to stay in that patient room. We still have COVID in our community that's very evidenced by the number of inpatients that we have seen over just the last 2 weeks. And I think of interest, the vast majority of these inpatients have been 30s, 40s, and 50-year-olds. Mm. We've only had one or two actual senior citizens that are COVID patients, which is, again, a shift from last year, but also some folks who are very seriously ill. I think we've had three different individuals on ventilators in the last week to 10 days because of COVID. So these are younger people, but obviously very sick, and we can avoid that.
I know that. It had been noted by Riley County as of Wednesday that there were four that were receiving treatment at Ascension Via Christi. Has that changed?
We are still at four.
Okay.
I believe one of the individuals has switched. But, one is in the ICU, is on a ventilator. We have three other patients up on the medical unit.
Mm. It just continues to be a challenge, and I don't know that we found a sweet spot yet for saying that cases are fully being able to decline, because there's going to be some consistency here, I think, that we've leveled off at maybe.
Well, you know, I think actually the sweet spot is getting vaccinated. I mean, I had talked with some people earlier this week from a purely capitalistic perspective, free vaccine, very expensive hospital bill from Bob. Maybe that might be of interest to some people. Certainly it is to employers who have to pay health insurance for their staff. But we still have at least half of our population in Riley County, Gary County, Pottawatomie County that have not been vaccinated. And these are the people we're hospitalizing now. These are non-vaccinated individuals. So we'd certainly strongly encourage people to consider getting vaccinated.
One of the things that I touched on yesterday in another conversation was that we tend to be bad at times about truly paying attention to history. What are those that have seen vaccination issues in the past telling you in trying to convince people that we need to move forward with vaccinations?
I think it is it's a matter of perspective. So if you were old enough maybe to remember the polio experience in the 50s, and then even, you know, I was a young, really young kid in the 70s eating that little sugar cube, you know, to get the vaccine. I think it's just a matter of also just helping people understand we're really talking about some very different technology now, too, with Pfizer and Moderna. You know, these are RNA-based vaccines. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is actually more of a traditionally based vaccine. And so we've got all three options. If there's a comfort level for people one way or the other, you know, as always, we always tell people to talk to your provider. Talk to them about what's if I've got concerns, what are they? Are they valid, invalid? What is it? What makes sense? What doesn't make sense? And then, you know, again, if you're not vaccinated, or even still, you know, Riley County, we would agree with this. If you're in large congregant activities, it's still important probably to have people mask, because you just don't know. And there's still a lot we do not know about this particular virus. And it's going to take a couple more years to actually learn more and know about transmission, you know, from people who are vaccinated, people who are post-positives. I mean, there's all these things that we really, you know, there's still lots of questions. So we want people to take care of themselves, be protective of themselves, if you will.
Something that keeps being brought up throughout the conversations about vaccines are side effects, and we get reports, much like we are today, about concerns over side effects for young people and the potential of one of the vaccines enlarging the hearts of a certain section of young people that are getting that vaccine now. And yet, the perspective it has to be given that those still are few and far between in comparison to the large numbers of people that get vaccinated.
Well, I mean, I think, so one, there's certainly valid concerns, but I think it's always really important to keep that in perspective of, so we actually have a lot of medications that have side effects, all kinds of side effects, and there's definitely some that have, for different age cadre, have different side effects. You know, it's kind of the large amount of concern with the Johnson & Johnson products and the clotting issues that we saw with young women. And then you have to keep in perspective that, you know, normal birth control pills, if you will, five times the rate of that same side effect. And so it's not that it's an unknown side effect from other medications too. You just be careful. You think about what you're doing and weigh those odds out. And so for maybe if you're in that age cadre, you should take advantage and spend the extra time that it takes to get either Pfizer or Moderna. You know, there's ways to mitigate some of this too. And again, I always pull back to, it's just important to talk to somebody who actually is kind of fact-based, which we look to our physicians for that, and have those kinds of conversations and maybe not rely on some of our other information sources that might not be as accurate or as objective, I think, as your local physician is going to be for you.
And the objective part of that is a great point, because I think what happens and I hate to say it, as a member of the media, it tends to be the what's going to be the big headline that we can lead with in regards to something like this taking place. And immediately people hear, oh, well, this side effect is taking place, without having that perspective that you referred to earlier.
Yeah. You know, again, obviously be our desire that people get vaccinated. We think that's a great thing to do. We think that protects people. In the same breath, I would say I would also hope that people would quit smoking, because we know there's lots and lots and lots of bad downside to that practice as well. And so I think it's, you know, again, if we're concerned about health, we've got to be looking at all aspects and not get so caught up. You know, in this particular case, there's so many things with COVID that have become so politicized that we're forgetting about just basic healthcare. And so, again, I could talk about 3 hours about that. But.
Yeah, you and I both probably could do that. One of the things, though, that has been a cost in this pandemic, or now as we get moving towards normal, blood donations are down. We've talked about, of course, surgeries being affected and other treatments that have been affected, where folks have not scheduled because they did not want to impose on the healthcare system some of their normal testing. Blood donations fall into that category as well.
Yeah, I think what we've seen, this is really across the country, but it was on Wednesday of this week, we actually got a letter from Red Cross and just expressing concern with current levels of blood inventory. And so we know personally about 3 weeks ago, we did not get our delivery because they had nothing to give us. And so it's those kinds of things that have this, I would say this is maybe an unanticipated impact of the COVID pandemic, is that we've seen a sharp drop off in blood donations, partly certain facilities haven't either been accessible or open or available to do the drives that we're all kind of accustomed to. And then also there's just, some reluctance from people to get out, and maybe some people more, you know, just concerned about safety of certain things. And I know it was late April, I went down and donated in an empty store in the mall. I have to say it's the first time I've ever donated blood in my life in a mall. And it was fine, actually, it was great. But I think, you know, we've got, I think yet this month, there's still four more blood drives in Manhattan. You know, we just encourage people. This is actually a big deal. People don't get blood electively. They are getting blood because there is some sort of significant oncology issue, nephrology issue. They've been in an accident, some sort of traumatic situation. And we would want to have adequate blood to take care of people. And so just, again, would strongly encourage people to do that. I'm already signed up again for, I think it's 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks now, because you got to hit your sequence of how often you can donate. But, would encourage people looking to doing that. I think there's a couple out of Potter Hall at Seco Park. There's, I think, a drive at one of the Methodist churches here in town. Again, just really encourage people to go to the Red Cross website. You basically type in our zip code, 66502. It'll show you all the ones around us. And you can go online and sign up to donate.
Are there any concerns regarding vaccination and donating blood?
So there's if depending on the timing of your vaccination, they'll have you wait a couple weeks. And then, so here's an interesting little side effect. When you donate blood, they actually do a COVID antibody screen for free. And so if you've had your vaccine, it'll be a validation of if you have the antibodies. If you haven't had COVID, it would actually be a free test to you to determine whether you've had COVID in the past X months, because the antibodies will be there. So if you're just curious about COVID, go donate blood.
I think, though, that there are the folks that would be concerned about, well, can that vaccine be carried over or any other of the number of issues for those who right now are resistant to vaccine?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I wouldn't even think to worry about that. So
sure, I understand. I just wanted to put that out there, but it's good to know that yes, it can be a workaround, if you will, that blood donations right now can be worked around if you have gotten the vaccine again.
Oh, sure.
It is a matter of just waiting a couple of weeks. We're talking with Bob Koppel, the president of Ascension Via Christi. When we continue, we'll touch on what this month means in terms of health. That as we continue after a timeout on In Focus. This is News Radio KMAN.